Hey guys, Dizlaif Mark here, and I want to tell you all about the official travel partner here at Chip & Company. Let our good friend Sarah at Destination to Travel help you plan your next Disney vacation. Sarah specializes in planning dream vacations for your family. She's an authorized Disney vacation planner, and she can help with every step of your magical vacation. The best thing is that her services are 100% free. Want to travel beyond Disney? Sarah has you covered there too. Want to find out more? Fill out a trip request form over at the website at Chip & Co. or email her directly at sarahsolberg@d2travel.com. Start planning that dream vacation today. Email her at sarahsolberg@d2travel.com.
Please stand clear of the doors. Por favor, manténganse alejado de las puertas.
Welcome, foolish mortals.
Amigos, amigos down there, it is me up here.
Howdy, folks. Please keep your hands, arms, and legs inside the train and remain seated at all times.
If smaller aviators don't measure up to the height indicator on the seat, just put the belt through the loop in the center strap before buckling. That's worked out.
We know what our goals are. We know what we hope to accomplish. And believe me, it's the most exciting and challenging assignment we've ever tackled at Walt Disney Productions.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Dizlaif Podcast. Thank you for being a part of our Disney lives here on the Chip & Company Podcast Network. I am Mark Valentine, and I am the host of Dizlaif Podcast. Join us weekly as we discuss the very best of Disney parks, resorts, dining, and everything in between. And don't forget, smash the subscribe button, and you can get access to more incredible audio content from all of us here at the Chip & Company Podcast Network. Just a quick reminder, head over to chipandco.com. We have the latest headlines from across all of the Disney parks from around the world. And give our show a rating or a review on Apple, Spotify, or even Podchaser. On today's Dizlaif Podcast, we're discussing our favorites from Disney parks, telling you our picks and personal faves. So let me start by bringing in my personal favorite co-host, the one and only Brian Lee. Brian, how you holding up there in the chilly Louisiana, man?
It is chilly here, but you said everything in between. But what if I want to go beyond the Disney parks, Mark? You threw me off there.
Yes, we can do that. If you want to go, we can always go to infinity and beyond if you decide. Man, listen, I know that you guys are experiencing cold there. It is the day after tomorrow level cold up here in like Pennsylvania and Buffalo. I don't even know what's going on in the Dakotas, but like their Tauntaun definitely froze before they reached the first marker up there. It's brutal up here, man. Brutal. It hurts.
What temperature is it inside of a Tauntaun, Mark?
Lukewarm. There it is. Yeah, man, it's cold. The NFL is roaring outside of our studio here. So we are recording just for a little timestamp for people, slightly early today so we can go and watch Buffalo and Kansas City in about, I don't know, 45 minutes. So
Go Bills.
So let's get into it, man. Let's get into the roaring review? I don't know. I just love it. Let's talk some Disney headlines.
It's time to step into our roaring review. This is where we unravel the latest and the most splendid updates from Disney parks. From avant-garde attractions to the latest unveilings, this jolly and joyous jamboree will keep you in the haps. Let's gin up some headlines with Mark and Brian.
I like this segment. I also like that we don't have to have like a creepy whisper or any craziness. I like all that, man. Good stuff. All right. Listen, I'm fired up over this. I'm excited. And I'm probably like one of three people in the entire world that are, the other two being Bondo and Ian Thurgood. But I don't know if you saw this, dude, on social media. Tron Ares has officially begun, according to the director, Joaquin Ronning. And it's fantastic. It's fantastic news for fans of Tron. If you love Tron, again, there's not many of us out there in the world, but for those who are legitimate Tronies, Joaquin Ronning announced the commencement of the filming for the highly anticipated third installment. It's called Tron Ares. He took to Instagram. He shared the exciting development. He posted a photo of the director's chair and had the logo Tron signaling the third film in this trilogy. According to the caption, week one on the grid, the director's post indicates, and production is now underway. No release date yet. I would hope they're targeting sometime in 2025. Tron was literally supposed to start production and then the SAG-AFTRA strike shut it down like the next day. Are you excited for Tron, or is this just a me thing?
It's not just a you thing. I mean, Mark Adams over at United We Fan is also in on it. It's not a me thing, however. The logo's dope. The red font is cool, but I mean, sure. But Jared Leto, that's not enough to get me like super on board.
What's your favorite Jared Leto movie?
I'm also not a Daft Punk person.
Well, they're done. So Daft Punk is officially broken up.
Right.
So I don't think they have a chance of coming back and reviving any music for the film.
Maybe one of them.
Yeah.
What is my favorite Jared Leto movie? I mean, the answer that immediately comes to mind is Morbius, right?
No, Fight Club. Fight Club for me.
When he gets, is he in Fight Club?
Yeah, he's the guy that gets jacked up. He wanted to destroy something beautiful. You're right. Jared Leto was the beautiful thing in that movie.
Dallas Buyers Club. I like that movie.
That's very good.
Matthew McConaughey vehicle. Requiem for a Dream.
Wow.
I'm just going to go with any documentary that 30 Seconds to Mars has appeared in.
Yeah.
Because that's my favorite Jared Leto project.
I just started following them on Instagram. I have officially reprogrammed my Instagram algorithm.
That's hard to do.
Yeah, with guitar. I guess it's because I started clicking on people who are playing guitar tabs and chord progressions enough. So now I'm just getting inundated with like bands from the 80s and 90s.
Do you play the guitar?
I do. I started playing. That was my New Year's resolution last year. I always wanted to learn guitar, and I have been playing now for a year, and it's like one of the best things I've ever done in my entire life, man.
Answer your question though. House of Gucci, not in my Mount Rushmore.
Man, that was such a bad movie. It was
not great.
Not great. But yeah, dude, super excited for Tron. I love that Disney seems to be leaning into Tron. I would love it if they gave us like a Disney Plus series as well. Live action, not cartoon, live action. But that said, yeah, I'm at 1 out of 10, I'm an 11 for Tron. And I absolutely love the ride. Maybe more on that later on. Second, dude, Disneyland is going to get a new look, a little bit of a facelift over at your and my favorite park. Later on this year in 2024, Disneyland Resort will be constructing new entry gates for both theme parks. I'm certain that this is going to happen before D23. If you had to give me like a, you know, taking a guess as to when this is going to happen.
And why.
But Disneyland and Disney California Adventure are getting new gates. Scott Gustin posted this on X, which is formerly Twitter. The resort will be installing new entry gates. The gates will have more stroller access and ADA accessibility. And the permits, which were filed over there in Orange County, indicate that Disneyland Park is set to upgrade its entry system, replacing the turnstiles and the gates with new automatic guest entry gates, fixed manual gates, and removable railings. Additionally, overhead shrouds are a part of the planned installation. I love this. The one thing that I will say about Disneyland, the original turnstiles and just the entryway was a bit antiquated. So,
but didn't that give it charm?
It did give it an old
devil's advocate. I agree with this upgrade.
It definitely gave it that old world feel. It felt so different from that commercialized or like just like millions of people walking through the gates that we have over here at Walt Disney World. It did. It felt more intimate. But if it's an ADA thing, man, like they really should make those gates a little bit more ADA friendly. It's not that they were unfriendly. You know, they had the manual gates, which would swing open. But, you know, let's get more gates. Let's get more access. And I like this. Absolutely.
Yeah, I think it'll go faster. Like, even as a cast member, like, we had our own cast admission and and three guest passes that go with it. And it, like, where we would get to the gate and, like, everything just worked so different than it did at Disney World. Like, you'd had to educate cast members on how to do it because it was just all so different. So I do think that they're going to take... Have they upgraded the security already to those new just walkthroughs?
Well, they have to.
I assume that's coming as well.
They do, and they have to lean into the magic bands and the tickets that go along with those too.
Correct.
Like, yeah. let's get rid of the paper tickets, and it's like, save this, don't lose this. those are quite interesting. Listen, the other reason I have to talk about this headline is it gives me the perfect opportunity to say there is a chance that Mr. Brian Lee might be joining me in August.
My wife might listen.
Oh.
No, she knows. Let's say that certain reservations have been acquired.
Okay.
It is still not at all a done deal.
Yeah.
But
well, listen,
the door is more than cracked open.
When plane tickets have been bought, that's a 50-50
shot. Shush, man. Shush.
50-50 shot. All right, man. Let's go over to the park that sometimes we neglect here on Chip and Company, or not really Chip and Company, but more or less Disney Podcast. Dude, Universal Orlando is rolling out the purple carpet for Mardi Gras. This year's celebration is taking place from February 3rd to April 7th at Universal Studios Florida. Mardi Gras will have the parade that'll occur daily, but they're going to have, dude, did you see this concert lineup that they've got going on?
I did. We just discussed it on United We Fan. When you talked about the park we ignore, I thought you were headed to Animal Kingdom.
Wow. Oh, no. Well, we might be heading there today, too. So, but dude, listen, Universal is pulling in some really great talent. Now, I know that Garden Rocks has more acts, but they've got better acts in this. Like,
The top three at Mardi Gras are all better than anything at Epcot.
Yeah, I mean, like, these are people that I would pay to go see. Legitimately, I would buy tickets to see some of these people, but they have Walker Hayes, the All-American Rejects. I would be all over that, dude. I would be all over Ellie King. Casey and the Sunshine Band, throwing it back, but the Bare Naked Ladies. Dude, DJ Khaled is there. Ava Max.
It's DJ Khaled. You did the same thing Mark Adams did.
So, yeah, you know, Caribbean, Khalid, you know, Khalid, it's all good. Queen Latifah, Zed. I don't know who Zed is. So I don't know that one. But
like I said, if you're at Universal Parks talking about Zed, I just think you're talking about an intergalactic kegger going on down there.
Right, yeah. But dude, Universal has an amazing concert series. Universal, listen to the words that are coming out of my mouth. More acts. I love this. Universal is bringing their A game with these special ticketed events, bro. They really are knocking out. Mardi Gras, first of all, could we talk about for like 30 seconds how underrated Mardi Gras is? I mean, Halloween Horror Nights gets all of the love, but that parade, that Mardi Gras parade is so much fun. That is the food. That is a great event. Really, truly.
Yeah, it is a good event. The thing is about Mardi Gras, if technically you're going to capitalize on it, like, it's a 6-week thing. So they're not as like, cause Flower and Garden just keeps getting longer and longer. Like, it's out till July 3rd or something. Right. So,
didn't they shorten it this year?
Maybe.
I'm pretty sure they shortened it this year.
You're usually the guy that would tell me that information. So we might have to check that.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure. Let's you're the Googleizer of the show. So at some point you're going to have to Googleize and see, but I'm pretty sure that Flower and Garden was abbreviated somewhat this year, not tremendously, but somewhat.
Good. It should be, but yeah, no, like the Mardi Gras event, the parade is cool. I mean, Universal stepping it up from an atmospheric entertainment standpoint. They really are. Their parades are getting better. Epic Universe looks like an absolute monster. Like, it's going to be fun.
Bro, the overheads, the stuff that's coming out of BioReconstruct, and they're showing you all the testing. Man, when they play the How to Train Your Dragon theme and showing, like, just the inner workings of what that's going to be, I want to say, like, that is an underrated trilogy. criminally underrated. I love How to Train Your Dragon.
It's not my thing. It's not my thing. And it's getting the live action treatment. And I don't know who asked for that. But to answer your question, you're correct. February 28th through May 27th. So it wraps up just after Memorial Day, only 90 days this year.
Hoo-ah! I was right. Good stuff, Ed. Yeah, you'd want to know who asked for the How to Train Your Dragon live action treatment. This guy. I love that. I love that theme. That's such a good... I have to, on the next United We Fan, could you take a note, ask Marky Mark where the How to Train Your Dragon theme soundtrack ranks for him. How does that rate? He's the music guy.
The soundtrack?
Yeah, because that theme from that like really knocks me out. Just takes my breath away. All right, listen, I got to catch my breath. We're going to talk about other stuff on the commercial break. But don't go anywhere. Brian Lee and I are going to be right back with our Disney favorites after a word from our sponsors. See you in a second.
Is Disney World home to you? Realtor Victor Naraki can help make it a reality. Realtor Victor Naraki specializes in making your Disney home dreams come true. Second homes, investment homes, retirement, relocation. With Victor's input, he will show you the home opportunities that you don't get to see as a tourist. Imagine being at the park in minutes, walking around the World Showcase for daily exercise, watching the fireworks in your own backyard, or having Disney Springs as your local mall. Have you ever heard of Windermere, Winter Garden, Horizon West, Dr. Phillips, Claremont, Lake Nona, or Disney's own Celebration and Golden Oak? Victor will introduce you to these communities, which are just minutes to the magic. Stop imagining a Disney life and start living your dream today. Call Victor at 407-340-9375. And don't forget to mention that you heard all about Victor here on the Chip and Company Podcast Network. Head over to CelebratingFlorida.com and start living your magical life today.
All right, Brian, we love talking about Disney parks, and we are definitely not without our biases and personal preferences. So today, we're not even apologizing. We're just going to talk about all of our favorites and revealing all the things that we love as we divulge our picks for the best, the very best of Walt Disney World parks here in Orlando, Florida. So let's start with our personal favorites. All right, let's do this one. Because what we're doing, I sent you a list and I said, hey, just pick your favorite. And I sent you 20 items. And I said, you're just going to pick your favorite. We're going to justify. Maybe we'll have a little debate, a little discussion, and give the people a little bit of a tip, you know, and say, hey, here's the thing that we think you should try. But what's your favorite? Let's start with this, man. What is your favorite park? Put your biases out there, because this might be interfering with some of these decisions, or people might say, well, of course he's going to feel that way. He's a Animal Kingdom stan. I know that you're not. No one is.
But we're only focused on Central Florida, correct?
You know, I really thought about doing American parks, but I also knew that you and I would have so many biases. It would be all West Coast. So let's do a West Coast version of this at some point too. And when we do that, we'll do a
D23 prep for people that are going, so we can talk all things Disneyland, all kinds of stuff.
We do, but I think like when we do that, we should also have Alexandra Munier sit in with us, because she totally wanted to talk Disneyland with you and me. So, you know, we had her on the podcast talking about her book. And she was like, I want to come back on and I would love to talk Disneyland. I was like, all right, it's a date. Let's do it.
And Jasmine. Let's do it.
All right. Okay. Favorite park.
My favorite park is Disney's Hollywood Studios.
You know, I knew that that was going to be the answer, but I thought maybe like Epcot might filter in there. This changes so much for me, man. It was always Epcot. Historically, it was Epcot. For a while, Disney's Hollywood Studios overtook it, obviously because of Galaxy's Edge. But it's back to Epcot. Epcot is my favorite park. especially with construction coming to an end. Epcot forever and always, man. Who loves Epcot forever? Me, this guy. So it's Epcot. All right, man. So Disney's Hollywood Studios is getting a vote. Why? I'm just curious to why would it be Hollywood for you?
I mean, the easy answer is Star Wars. I mean, that's the easiest answer. Right. But it's got more attractions than I think it's given credit for. I think it has, I mean, it obviously doesn't have as many tones as Magic Kingdom does.
It's fair.
But if you're looking for something different, you can find it without trekking very far. I think 4 to 5 of my top 10 attractions reside in this park. And that's really where the tiebreaker comes down to.
Well, and that's where when Hollywood Studios for a great long, you know, for a great time, especially since COVID, overtook Epcot, a lot of that was exactly what you just said. Star Wars for the longest time. But also like me rediscovering the fact that it's like, hey, I like thrill rides, and then developing a relationship with the Tower of Terror and Rock and Roller Coaster. I do like Toy Story Land, which there was a little bit more shade over there, but I love Toy Story Land. I love how diverse in experience Disney's Hollywood Studios is. I think it offers all ages and theme park types. It's very, like, there's a lot for little kids. There's a lot for the thrill seekers. There's a lot for people who just like to do the shows. The one place that I will say that Hollywood Studios really needs to kick up its game a little bit is with table service dining. We need a little bit more table service dining. Now, they did start to address that with Woody's Roundup Rodeo.
Did they?
Yeah, well, I mean, in a location.
When they added a new one, yeah, that's fair.
In terms of the quantity it went up, in terms of quality, that's debatable. And we could have that discussion here if you want to as well. It's not great, and they already changed the menu because they got some feedback that it was like, meh. But we do need like one or two more table service dining experiences. And there's a lot of real estate. And if you want to make one of them the Galactic Star Cruiser dining experience, I'm just saying, like, give us a dinner cruise. Why not? But we need one more. But yeah, Epcot and Hollywood Studios. All right, numero dos, favorite ride. I am so curious. This is not an easy decision for you. Do you want me to go first?
You know the two attractions it's down to.
I do. My guess would be it's between Rise of the Resistance for you and Guardians of the Galaxy Cosmic Rewind.
Correct. So the way I would define this is if you told me I could only ride one more attraction for the rest of my life.
Right.
One time, it's Star Wars Rise of the Resistance, because the emotional attachment and the amount of immersion that takes place within that attraction. But if you told me I could have unlimited rides on something for the rest of my life, the thrill aspect of Guardians of the Galaxy Cosmic Rewind, and really how different the 6 individual songs makes it different every time you go on it, that has a lot more staying power for me. So I refuse to answer the question other than the way that I just did.
Listen, you could have a 1 and a 1A. I'm perfectly fine with that. Mine would be the same too. If I had one ride though that I have to say continues to just every single time I'm staring at something new, it's Rise of the Resistance. I love that ride. It's my favorite ride. It is an achievement in Imagineering. I like that it is a hybrid of a walkthrough, that like they have the acting elements in it. And like when you get Rebels that are committed, and when you get Imperials that are committed to, or I'm sorry, not Imperials.
First Order.
First Order, thank you. That are committed to their roles, there is no better ride.
Resistance, not Rebels.
Yeah, but there is no better experience. When that door opens after Rey and Poe Dameron like charge you with your task, if that door opens and you have someone who is like loading you like you're about to get into a Higgins boat and like hit the beach, dude, that's it. Like, you got me. Like, that's the cast member I want. I want someone who is getting people to like run to the door and you're getting fired up. And the same thing
for me, it's the First Order cast member right there after you get off of that ship. I love when they get in there and start yelling at you to get off of the ship. I'm a big fan.
That would be my dream job. Either one of those roles would be my dream job. If I had to work in attractions and I could do that for the rest of my life, I would be so happy to like be able to mix my love of acting and theme parks all in one. That would be the perfect role. But like, yeah, if you're there and you're just like, all right, everyone, get into the ride. Like, I'm sorry, you've lost me. Rise of the Resistance is such a good ride. If you want to play along at home, by the way, to any of these, let us know, communicate with us. You don't have to send in all 20. You're welcome to send in all 20. But we're curious to see what are your favorites over at Walt Disney World Park. But Rise of the Resistance for Brian and me, even though like we both kind of have Guardians of the Galaxy Cosmic Rewind repping there as well. As a, we would say, like token favorite as well. All right, dude, favorite show. I know you're not really a Broadway stan, but we're getting you there. You have seen Harry Potter on Broadway and you did not hate it.
Well, no, I didn't expect to hate it. Define show though. Are we talking like 3 to 4 showings throughout the day or nighttime spectaculars included here?
Sure. Why not? We could do nighttime spectacular too.
The answer is Fantasmic.
Okay.
And I don't think it would ever be replaced unless World of Color showed up somehow.
And now let's assume that it is something that takes place 3 or 4 times and it's not a nighttime spectacular. What would the answer be then?
Da, 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 da. Can the answer be the Guardians of the Galaxy show that they did in the American Amphitheater?
Dude,
that was really fun. I want that show to come back. No, I think the answer is either Indiana Jones or Frozen Ever After. I think I'm honestly going to go Frozen Ever After.
Wow.
Because if you get a good cast in that show, it can be uproariously funny.
Man, I'm shocked.
And it's good for my kids, good for the family. I love that show.
I am so shocked that you didn't go with Indy. I thought you were going to definitely go with Indiana Jones. I won't tell Marky Mark. I'm going to hide that from him because if he hears...
Indy needs to change just a little bit. It's literally exactly the same that it was 20 years ago.
Yeah, but isn't that the great thing about it?
Maybe.
Is that it hasn't and it's still that damn good. Like, right?
I want him to start pulling people out of the crowd again.
So my answer is it's not going to be Indiana Jones either. So Marky Mark, please, I hope to God you're not listening to this episode or at least the segment of it. I'm going to go with Finding Nemo, The Big Blue and Beyond. It is so awesome. I love the way that they changed the show. They infused it with like all kinds of Broadway caliber technology, the puppetry, the music. It pulls at the heartstrings. It's the perfect amount of time. It's like a one-act show. It's phenomenal, dude. It's so good. I know people love Festival of the Lion King, but when you have the real Lion King, which I'm going to go see on Tuesday with my friend Iris McCarron, who's coming up from Dallas, Texas, to her first ever Broadway trip, I'm going to take her to see the Lion King. When we have that version of the Lion King, you can't watch that truncated version at Animal Kingdom. Meanwhile, Finding Nemo, The Big Blue and Beyond, somebody take this to Broadway, like legitimately write a second act for the second film, like make the second act Finding Dory and then bring that damn thing to Broadway because it's so good. It is amazing. Nighttime spectacular for me. I would differ with you, my friend. I would go with Happily Ever After instead of Fantasmic. I cry every time Jordan Fisher sings that opening. I love that fireworks show so much. So much. Yeah. Finding Nemo, Big Blue and Beyond.
I just hear Happily Ever After and thinks Mark's main attraction at this point.
In this big blue world. Right?
If you tell me that's what Broadway's like, that's why I'm afraid to get into Broadway, because Finding Nemo, Big Blue, whatever, is not my thing at all.
So yes and no.
I understand it's different. But that show is just not my thing.
When I say Broadway, I mean in the caliber of the voices and the quality of production.
Yeah. Stage pieces, stuff like that.
Stage pieces. And this is not knocking The Lion King, but the best part of The Lion King were the monkey tumblers. Like, that's next level. The rest of The Lion King is like, the crowd participation. I'm sure everybody loves it. But those overstuffed puppets or whatever they are, I don't know what those things are. I don't like them at all. I'm so sorry. People are like, I hate Mark. He's the worst. Thank you. I will be accepted. I Britted it, dude. I definitely Britted it. All right. Number 4, favorite snack item. as per Brian Lee, as we talk about our Disney favorites.
Okay, so Disneyland churros are off the list.
They are.
I've got to go to my next favorite item, and it's the Mickey Mouse ice cream sandwich.
Wow. Sandwich over bar.
Yes. Yep. 10 times out of 10.
Wow. That is a bit of a hot take there, my friend.
Cookies and cream ice cream is the difference there.
Ooh, yeah, that's a good point. Very good point. I'm going to go with the iconic Dole Whip. If I have to say a flavor, of course, you know, pineapple has to be. But the truth be told is I don't care what flavor the Dole Whip is. I'll eat it. I'll eat orange. I'll eat coconut.
I thought we were headed to cheeseburger spring roll.
Yeah,
town.
Raspberry. No, you know, I do like them. But there's something about Dole Whip, man. The more I think about it, I you should have. This was hard for me. This was a tough category because I like my list of Oscar recipients would have been spring rolls, Dole Whip. I definitely would have been on that Mickey bar kick. I would have had like three or four other items. That Disneyland churro would be like at the top or in the running. Dole Whip, though, for me is numero uno. I love me Dole Whip. Love it, love it, love it. All right, dude, favorite quick service location, and tell me why. It's the Indiana Jones place.
I'm still in between a few places, so I'd love for you to go first on this one.
Okay, mine's not in the park. I thought outside of the box or parks, and I went over to Captain Cook's at the Poly. And the reason why we're going to make number six, we're going to ducktail into five and six. My favorite quick service item, entree item, are the Thai coconut meatballs. Now, listen, if you've never taken a quick monorail ride over to the Poly, gone downstairs to Captain Cook's and haven't ordered these Thai coconut meatballs, I'm just going to tell you this right now. They are worth the detour. They are really good. They're served over jasmine rice. But they are like, and they stick to your ribs. Like for a quick service meal, you feel like you've gotten your money's worth and they're not breaking the bank either. And then the greatest part about this is then to rewind things and to come full circle, then I could go over to Pineapple Lanai and I can get myself a Dole Whip. So it's the perfect afternoon. Where are you going? Quick service.
Yeah, Captain Cook's and those meatballs were on my list, actually. So I'm going to go with that answer as well. And I'm also just simply going to get on my hands and knees and beg Disney to go back to the chicken nuggets rather than the chicken tenders. Because the tendies are not hitting the spot from a value standpoint or from a amount of meat standpoint. I want my 10-piece chicken nuggets back.
Dude, I have forgotten the nuggets. Like, I've been...
They were so much better. You could buy bags of them at the Cast store. When I worked there, we bought them a bunch, but you couldn't replicate it. But anyway, get rid of the tenders, bring back the nuggets, Disney. Thank you. That is my favorite quick service entree item.
This message has been brought to you by Baby Yoda, and it's Baby Yoda approved. Yeah, dude, I've been cultured into the tenders. I can't even remember the nuggies at this point. I just like, yeah, all I know are those. Dude, the Thai coconut meatballs over at Captain Cook's. Trust
me. They're fantastic.
Yep. They're bonkers good. Bonkers good. Favorite dessert for you? It can be quick serve. It doesn't just dessert item. It can be a table service dessert. It can be, I mean, is it your ice cream bar?
It probably is, to be 100% honest. I was trying to think of another one that I would get, and
you're probably going to steal mine.
There's a couple of good ones over actually at Coral Reef. Some really good desserts over there. They had a really good flan.
Mm.
Oh, outside of my Mickey ice cream sandwich, I think I'll go with the Coral Reef flan.
That's very, I mean, you, of course you have to endure the Coral Reef restaurant in order to get said flan. So, I mean, there's that, but you can enjoy the fishes. Mine, it's no secret. Since like, I think episode one, the Ooey Gooey Toffee Cake is the correct answer over at Liberty Tree Tavern. And you can also get it over at right next door in the Golden Horseshoe, which is essentially the same kitchen. So and that's a good tip. FYI, people, if you cannot get into Liberty Tree Tavern, get a reservation over next door at the Golden Horseshoe.
Which are always available.
They're always available, and it's the same exact menu, like identical menu. And I'm going to tell you this too. I also like the ambiance over there a lot more than I do Liberty Tree Tavern, which can be a little, you know, a little stuffy and colonial. Give me the Wild West. I'll take it. Ooey gooey toffee cake, vanilla ice cream, chocolate syrup, toffee bits over a brookie, a chocolate chip brookie. Yum, yum, yum. Textures, flavors, temperatures, it's all good. A little hot, a little warm, a little cold. Love it. I'll take two. All right, dude, let's switch gears for a minute. I don't know if I know this answer. And I am a little, I mean, I think I've known almost everything that you've said thus far, and I don't know this one, and I feel like a bad friend. Favorite character meet and greet?
So I wrote down Star Wars Galaxy's Edge. Is that fair? Because you don't know who you're going to bump into, because those character interactions are some of my favorite. I love bumping into the stormtroopers.
Okay.
In Mando and Grogu, running into Kylo Ren and people walking in his way and him being sassy with them.
Right.
I love seeing Chewbacca and Rey working on the Falcon. But that's not like a proper character meet and greet. So sure. I can understand that. Other than that, there's nothing more iconic to me than meeting Sorcerer Mickey and Hollywood Minnie in Hollywood Studios. That's, I think, meeting Mickey in the red robes with the blue hat is as iconic as it comes.
So the House of Lady Chapelle, we had her on the show. She is a Disney tattoo artist. And I have been brainstorming, if I ever got a Disney tattoo, what my Disney tattoo would be. So I've narrowed it down to three things. Something from Up, Donald Duck in some form or fashion, because he is my patron saint, and Mickey Mouse, but it would need to be Sorcerer Mickey. If I'm going to get a Mickey tattoo, it would be Sorcerer Mickey from Fantasia.
You got to get a grape soda.
I'm thinking of getting a grape soda pin. That's honestly what I'm thinking. Yeah. I just don't know where I'm going to get a grape soda pin. Would I have to get it like on my chest? Like,
yeah, you got a perfect circle right there on your left side.
Oh my gosh. Cover your heart with the pin. So yeah. Oh man. I don't know. I'm narrowing, cause I have to go back to her. If we're going to do August, we might be swinging down towards San Diego. And so, yeah, I might be getting a Disney tattoo. And that's it's not for content. It's not for like, there's no, yeah, this is not for an influencer thing. Like, I'm not going to have a reel. It's like, come with me as I take on a Disney. No, I'm just going to do it. Why? Because I want to do it. Favorite character meet and greet, before I get off too far off topic, I'm going to cry, because you know the answer to this, man. It's my favorite. It's not around anymore. They just killed it. And like, I know everyone's happy. Like, Figment's there. Great. Good for you. I'm glad you have Figment. My heart was ripped out of my chest. Vanellope von Schweetz was my absolute favorite. I used to love it. First off, you got a minute, Brian? First off, what does Disney do? They get rid of Wreck-It Ralph. It used to be Wreck-It Ralph and Vanellope von Schweetz, and that was my absolute favorite of all time. Then they get rid of Wreck-It Ralph because Homeboy used to trip in the tunnel. Irony, I know.
Why he went away?
Right. Yeah. They were worried. He, like, I think he took a spill like four or five times in the tunnel, and they were finally like, he's too big to come out of the portal or whatever. So they got rid of him.
Wreck it.
Yeah, he's going to wreck it, and he did. And then the irony of that is, on the second day of his meet and greet, Figment literally just like wiped out in the tunnel. Now
you tripped him.
Yeah, they put reflectors on the bottom of that tunnel now so the characters could see it. But dude, Vanellope von Schweetz was the best. She was the absolute best. I love Wreck-It Ralph, and that was my absolute favorite. Now that she's not there, I'm going to say the Mandalorian and Baby Grogu. That's a cool meet and greet. It's not your traditional one. But it's somewhat of a hybrid. So he'll come out right in Galaxy's Edge. He comes out at the edge of the marketplace as you're heading towards Rise of the Resistance, and the cast member is there. you can usually start to see when people are starting to queue up. It's going to be around that time. And he'll come out and he will signal you to join him from the crowd. And then he will allow you to take a holo scan. There's not a, you know, there's no photo pass photographer. And he'll give you like a little interaction and Baby Yoda will coo and like ooh and ah. And that Baby Yoda puppet is amazing. But yeah, that's like my favorite.
Yeah, for shouting out old ones, the Baymax meet and greet was always fantastic as well.
Equally awesome. Yep. And we used to get joy and sadness. Man, Disney, you're breaking my heart.
But they're finishing Communicore Hall. Let's see what they do when it's open.
They're not coming back, bro.
Maybe, I mean, but they may get more, like at least more immersive ones.
We need a Baymax ride. We need a Baymax experience. Something. We need Big Hero 6 in some way. If we can't get Marvel, that's our way to get more superheroes in the park. And we deserve it. We deserve it. All right. Favorite festival, by the way. Speaking of the Flower and Garden, yada, yada, yada. What is your favorite festival? Let's go to Epcot.
We just found out that Flower and Garden is a little shorter than I thought. No, the answer is for me is Flower and Garden, with Festival of the Arts just very close behind it, to be honest. But Flower and Garden is the best one for me.
I will say Festival of the Arts because I do think it offers the most and has a tremendous bang for your buck. Not only, you know, all of the food and the different, you know, the music's there. Obviously, Broadway is on display during Festival of the Arts, but you have the fine art and the artists are there. You know, the impulse that I have to buy something from that festival is strong. I usually have to fight like very hard to not take something home from Farts. But man, I'm going to tell you, Festival of Holidays is really catching up. And I think that's because the last few times we've been there for the holiday season, we've just had really great experiences with like family and friends. And there's nothing like Disney at Christmas time. And I love that festival. But that's like my shout out. It's hard. It's really hard. I do like Flower and Garden, but my only complaint with Flower and Garden is it felt like it lasted forever. And Food and Wine, you're just Food and Wine. That's it.
And it's too crowded.
Too many people. Too much. Too many winos. favorite festival food item. Speaking of festivals, dude.
What was the empanada that they had at the Encanto one last
year? Right. That's good.
That's the winner for me.
That was good. Braised beef poutine from the Food and Wine Festival is my favorite. I hope they continue to bring that back. It's between the braised beef poutine and the turkey, the Thanksgiving poutine at the holidays, Festival of the Holidays. Those are both really good. Now, the turkey one is not your traditional poutine. It's basically just like it's Thanksgiving dinner over French fries. You know, there's not the cheese curds and all that. The other elements that traditionally make a poutine are really not there. The stuff that Disney is classifying as poutine is not really poutine. Some of the stuff. But you know what? It's delicious anyway. I don't care.
Pickle milkshake, huh?
No, not the pickle milkshake. Although that was not as bad as people made it out to be. You know, what is your favorite, speaking of the World Showcase, what is your favorite country in the World Showcase?
America. Mexico. Mexico's my favorite. I think their restaurants are the best. They have two table service restaurants plus the quick service outside. I think that the attraction indoors is actually a pretty well-kept secret still, all things considered. I think a lot of people know about it now. I love the Three Caballeros movie, but and if it became Coco, it would just that much more be my favorite country. But I think the food's the best. And I think the amount of food available is the best. And I love the attraction. And you can get on it usually within 10 minutes rather than Frozen, which takes a little extra time.
All right. So I'm gonna go with France for my favorite in the World Showcase. And the reason is you have a bang-up ride now, Remy's Ratatouille Adventure. Is it the e-ticket attraction that we thought we were getting? No, it's not. But it's still very, very good. You also have the Beauty and the Beast sing-along, which is an underrated, really fun thing if you commit to it. And you have a group of dudes just singing their heart out and pretending to be Belle. There's the ice cream. There's Le Hall, which is an amazing quick service. Probably one of the best quick services. If I didn't say Captain Cook's, Le Hall is probably the best quick service, period. You know, it's so, so good. Never go wrong with that. But the macaroon ice cream sandwich, you can get the frozen drinky drinks over there. and you can get the Grand Marnier slushie. Don't forget, you also have the creperie over behind by Remy's Ratatouille, and that can be table service, or you can grab a crepe at the window. It always doesn't matter what festival it is. It's always good at the festivals in terms of like they're bringing their A game. And I've never eaten at Monsieur Paul's, but I hear it is like a 5-star dining experience. I have eaten at the other restaurant. I'm trying to remember the name of it. And it's fine. It was good. It was good French cuisine.
Chefs de France.
Yeah. And it's good.
Chefs de France.
And it's good. I mean, it's serviceable. Is it the greatest French cuisine in the history of the world? No. But it's good. It's good, solid French cuisine, if you so choose. France. Vive la France by Coldplay. So that's my favorite. What is your favorite table service while we're on the food kick?
I'm going to give you my top three favorite restaurants, table service restaurants, and then you tell me my favorite meal, because my top three are Le Cellier, Yachtsman's, Steakhouse 71.
And I would have to know in that one to pick out.
The answer is a filet mignon.
I was going to say Le Cellier. Yeah, I was going to say Le Cellier, because we were talking about steaks and the Disney dining plan.
Yeah.
So I was going to guess steak, which you would normally not do, but when you get those meal credits,
when it's paid for,
that's it. That's a good filet. I just had that with Iris. We had an overlap when I did the media thing for. That was so interesting. What just happened? It was.
I have no idea.
I just had we're working in Zoom, and I just had balloons shooting across my.
You talked about up, and it heard you just a few minutes.
Yeah, that was weird. So I saw Iris McCarron, and I joined her during the overlap, and the two of us had Le Cellier. She had never had Le Cellier or hadn't had it in a while, and we both got those filet mignons. And
yeah, in the parks, Le Cellier is the answer for me. But if you're only having table service in the parks, branch out. Go to the resorts to eat at those restaurants, because those are some of the best restaurants on property.
Well, that's where I'm going to go with my favorite. So my absolute favorite place in the entire world. Now, it's great for both breakfast and dinner, but I'm going to tell you, everyone goes there for breakfast, and it's Topolino's Terrace, by the way. FYI, spoiler alert, Topolino's Terrace has the best character breakfast on property. Like, just don't at me. If you want to debate me on this, like, you're going to lose, and it's going to be embarrassing. Topolino's Terrace has the best breakfast, period. The dinner there is incredible. It's a little bit on the pricey side, but my favorite entree, you just did the filet mignon. Mine, they have a classic sole that's there, and it's got capers. It's served with a side of like baby squash and cauliflower and petite potatoes. The way they prepare this thing, it is pan-seared. It has so much flavor and so much crunch. Now, I like seafood and I like fish, but I've never had a piece of fish that has been prepared like this. I don't know what it was. And we went to dinner with the Thurgoods, right? And we loved that dinner. We enjoyed it thoroughly. And I ordered the sole, and I gave them a bite of it. And I was like, you would not believe this. Like, you would think I'm full of it. And they were like, that's the greatest item. Like, and we had a table full of food. They were like, that's the greatest item. They also have this gnocchi that is there. And it's an appetizer, and it's got like braised lamb. And I could eat that as an entree. But Topolino's Terrace, man, is really good. You just got to be careful, because the one time we were there with Greg and Holly, there was the naked guy. Literally, it was like an episode of Friends. There was a dude getting changed in his hotel room. And you're trying to not look, but there's a naked man, like, right, windows, lights on, curtains drawn.
Ugly, like, naked guy has a naked friend.
He did. His wife was there too. And I'm like, oh my goodness.
So that's the best character dining experience on property then as well.
Right. Okay. Right.
I would go Artist Point for character dining.
Okay. Well, the characters are unique. You get Evil Queen, Snow White. Yep. You get Grumpy and Dopey.
Yep.
And that's really fun. I like the food. It's a la carte. The desserts are really fun. The appetizers are really cool. They bring them out on like that little tree tray. I've never had a bad entree there. We used to do the prime rib, which is delicious. Mm-hmm. You know, then I would get the chicken. They have a nice fish there. So yeah. I'm on board with that. That would be on my top five. Artist Point. Very good. Yep. Very, very good. Favorite attraction. Let's do this one. Favorite walkthrough attraction. What's your favorite walkthrough at Disney?
So I might need a little extra help here. I have not done, it seems like the answer here should be the Moana Journey of Water.
I'm not going to pick that. Nope. I'm not.
I've not done it.
Okay. It's not for me. Nope.
What is yours?
Gorilla Falls over in Animal Kingdom.
Okay.
Yep. Cause it's, okay. I mean, just, you could sit there and just watch the gorillas like endlessly. It's really fun.
I was thinking Rafiki's Planet Watch area, like yep. The petting zoo, stuff like that. So I think that's what I'm going to go with.
Yeah. The interactive stuff's really good. I mean, and that's where Animal Kingdom really shines. And there's not a ton of attractions there. So like it needs to.
But Pandora kind of qualifies as a walkthrough attraction, huh?
Yeah. I mean, you know, if you treat the whole land as an immersive experience. So let me ask you this. What's your favorite themed land? Is it Pandora, the world of Avatar?
No, it's Galaxy's Edge. If you remove Galaxy's Edge, then I think Storybook Circus is honestly in near the top of my list. I think it's really fun back there.
All right. So I'm going to cheat. Galaxy's Edge, the world of Avatar, and Frontierland are my three favorite themed areas. I could chill in Frontierland for a long time. Watch people splash down. Tom Sawyer Island is over there, and that's a lot of fun. Dude, how about that? We missed that. Let's add that to the conversation for walkthrough attraction.
Which one?
Tom Sawyer Island.
Oh, I don't think I would choose it over. Hard pass. It's not my thing.
Now, if they rethemed it into Tangled.
Into Tangled. Yeah, there you go. let me add one. Best immersive music.
Ooh. Oh, you go first.
I miss the Interventions soundtrack like a lot. I loved Interventions. And if you just turn on the YouTube video of just the Epcot entrance music, I think that's probably my favorite entrance music. But I'm a big, gigantic fan of, and maybe it's just because every first day of my vacation is Magic Kingdom.
Right.
And every time I turn right. So when I hear the Tomorrowland theme music, that's when I feel like I'm at the parks and on my vacation. So I'm going to go with Tomorrowland just from that standpoint.
Okay. If both of these have like bias all throughout them. We always end in Epcot no matter what. So we're always getting that entryway music that's playing mm-hmm. on our way out. And you're just getting hit with the feels. And the beacons of light are going on, and all of that kind of mixes in. So that's that would be my traditional answer. But the other one has a lot of bias. You mentioned Daft Punk before. Bro, I could sit there underneath that Tron dome and listen to that soundtrack forever. Like, I just don't have to leave that area. And then when the grid changes over to Team Orange and you get the drums, that right there. Yes. Or walking off Tron. Tell me you don't want to walk in like slow motion and you feel like you're like, yeah, that's right. I'm in the grid. That's awesome. That cadence, that musical cadence right there. So good. Disney knew that too. They released it. They're like,
they knew. Oh, yeah. They knew.
They were like, here you go. Here's the Tron music. Enjoy. Favorite cast costume. Speaking of Tron, what's your favorite cast costume?
The carousel in the Magic Kingdom. Those poor people.
Oh, so bad. what was your favorite costume? Yeah, that you had to wear. Which one?
I was leadership, so I had to pay for my own clothes. I didn't get cast costumes. But my favorite cast costume, man. I think for me, from the theming standpoint, I've got to go back to Rise of the Resistance in the First Order.
Okay.
Just how proper and everything that those are. They feel straight out of the movie. That's what I'm going to go with.
Yeah, the Tron costumes are really amazing. Mm-hmm. If I'm going to go old school nostalgia, the old school Epcot, the World Showcase, the flags.
I love those. Yeah.
Those are good.
Don't you have a shirt from?
I do.
Yeah.
Head over to the Happiness Collection on Etsy. I have an amazing dry fit shirt. It's one of my favorite shirts. I bring it on every trip. I love that Epcot shirt. Like, seriously, yep. I love that thing.
That's a great one.
So, favorite Disney Springs eatery. What is the best?
So how long am I there? I mean, I left STK off of my list earlier when we were talking about steakhouses. No, I think my favorite place to eat at Disney Springs, I'm a big deluxe burger person. From the amount of food you get for the amount of money you spend.
Yeah.
And it's a burger. It's hard to mess up a burger. It's the place I've definitely gone the most because it's more budget friendly. The poutine that you get right next to World of Disney. Fantastic. I think that's what I'm going to go with for now. Paradiso 37, they have a great chicken quesadilla.
Yeah.
That's super cheap. And not a lot of people go to Paradiso 37. So I just wanted to shout that out. But I think that's what I'm going to go with.
Dude, Swirls on the Water, if we were going to go like the snack front. So I love Chef Art Smith. The problem is everyone else loves Chef Art Smith.
Correct. Yep.
It is it's one of the hardest places to get a reservation. Those thigh high chicken biscuits that are there are amazing. But like, I feel like I have to make a plan like 3 months out to get a reservation to Chef Art Smith.
You feel like you kind of feel the pressure. They don't do it, but you feel the pressure to just like eat quickly so they can get on with life.
Right. So, Chef Art Smith, in terms of the quality of the food, but if I'm talking about like an experience, the Polite Pig, because you can always just walk in, it's a quick service. Mm-hmm. And I love that Polite Pig so much. We get the tray that has the chicken and the brisket, and it's got a few different entrees, and you can order sides. We get the Brussels sprouts that are a little bit burnt. And
I love how it tastes. The smell of the Polite Pig, there's something in it that hits me wrong sometimes, but it always tastes good.
Right. It does. I get that. Hey, what is your favorite mode of transportation, by the way? I don't think this is another one. I don't really know. I'm classic monorail. I'm team monorail for historical purposes. Talk about smells. Things that don't smell great, especially in the summer months. If I'm going to be bougie, I'm going to say the minivan. I love that minivan, but I'm not paying those minivan prices all the time. I'm taking a straight up Lyft or Uber. What about you, man? It's not the buses.
I'm a Skyliner person. I am all in on the Skyliner. Love it. Absolutely love it. Would take it any chance I can.
Yeah. Even in summer months, you're going to play Russian roulette with that bad boy.
I have never gotten into a really smelly one. And I don't personally smell that bad most of the time. Maybe I'm the one that leaves it behind. Maybe that's the problem. I'll play that roulette. I'm fine with it. They've done a really good job at not packing you in there with a bunch of other people that you don't know. That it's not in so much demand that they have to put twos and twos and fours together. Like, they just kind of give your family a car and then go. And it's just nice and relaxing. I think there's enough of a breeze as you're moving that it's not a problem. I've never been stuck on it for more than 5 minutes. So maybe that's part of why I feel that way. I do too. I would love to see it at least expand to Coronado. I'm a big fan of that mode of transportation,
man. There are certain months I will not take the Skyliner for fear of, God forbid, something does break down. I don't want to get caught in that tinderbox in the sky in the middle of like July and August. It's not, it's not happening, bro. July and August, it's not happening. What is your favorite merch item?
Mickey Mouse ears. There's no better answer than Mickey Mouse ears. Second place, Spirit jersey. I have very few of either one, for the record.
I'm going to go with a lightsaber from Doc Ondar. Legacy lightsaber is my favorite merch item. I could buy every single one of those
I guess I didn't think collectibles. So yeah. You're probably correct. So yeah, we'll go with that. But I will go in Mickey ears, man. That's the answer.
Well, I'll go with lounge flies as my second. So if it's a non-lightsaber item, loungies are fun. Like, I enjoy lounge flies. I have a few of my own. I have a few cool Marvel ones. I have the Wreck-It Ralph ones. I do love a good lounge fly.
Shout out to Alicia, who has a lot of all of them.
A lot. Alicia is lounge fly. She has all of them.
That's her middle name, legally.
What other favorites did we miss, man? Did we miss anything else? I loved that music loop. That was a good one.
We didn't talk sleeping. Favorite place to sleep?
The DVC lounge over at Epcot, number one. Give me that hobo nap.
No, man. Carousel of Progress is the answer. No, your favorite resort. Your favorite resort to stay at.
Oh, man. This is hard. Poly. It's going to be the Poly. It's a toss-up between the Poly and the Wilderness Lodge. Wilderness Lodge is my home, DVC home. So that would get my vote because of that. But the Poly is so good. I love it. Poly.
Yep. I'm Wilderness Lodge for me. Disney's Grand Californian is number one, but that's not on the table. So then therefore Wilderness Lodge is my next best choice.
The only one we didn't stay at, like, we stayed at Disneyland Hotel. We stayed at Pixar Paradise Pier, whatever that was called. Now it's Pixar Hotel, Pixar Place, but we did not stay at the Grand Californian, but you walk through it so much.
Yeah.
And like, we ate at it like at three different occasions. So we were there a lot. It reminded me very much of the Wilderness Lodge.
Very, very similar. Yeah.
I mean, it's the same scale, the same kind of finishes, but man, there's nothing like being able to walk into California Adventure, right?
Yep.
That's nice. Very nice.
Very nice.
All right, dude. So listen, we're going to take a quick commercial break. Dude, you know what's my favorite? Disney. We will be right back in 1 second. We are going to play Disney's College Knowledge and then say goodbye for the week. Hang tight. We'll be right back after this. All right, Brian, it's time for Disney's College of Knowledge. This is the segment where we put your Disney knowledge to the test. To play and to interact with us here, send your answers to this week's trivia question to us on Instagram at Diz Life Podcast. Last week we asked, in Hawkeye, what does Yelena cook for Kate when she breaks into her apartment? Brian?
Yeah, I never apologized in case people didn't know. I never know these questions, so I totally spoiled your trivia questions. So sorry about that.
Well, what was the answer, my friend?
Mac and cheese with a little hot sauce.
Mac and cheese. Congratulations to those of you who knew she was noshing on mac and cheese. You get an A+ on your Marvel knowledge and your Disney knowledge. This week, man, let's take our question this week from the land that inspired you. It's the land that inspired me. It was the home of most of our favorites this week, and that would be Star Wars Galaxy's Edge. Brian, there are thousands of hidden Mickeys. They're all over Disney parks. But Galaxy's Edge plays home to a hidden version of this character right outside of Oga's Cantina. So tell us, what is the character that has an hidden homage in Galaxy's Edge? Again, send that answer to at Diz Life Podcast on Instagram. We're going to put your knowledge to the test. It's not a hidden Mickey. There's a hidden somebody. Who is it over in Galaxy's Edge? Brian, do you know this one?
I think I do.
Wow. Well, I'm going to test you next week, man. So be ready. And no, you Googleizing it. So, who do you got tonight? Chiefs or Bills? And let's see if we were wrong.
Bills. It's come on, Bills. I hate the Chiefs so much.
I kind of want to see the Chiefs win, if only for the Taylor Swift stuff that's going on. Like, it's compelling. It's like, if he gets to the Super Bowl, will she make it back from Japan on time? I feel like this is a really great Love Actually moment.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is. It is. I'm on. Swifties, I'm on board with you. Let's go. I want T Swizzle at the Super Bowl. Let's do it. Dude, this was super fun. If you have any ideas for a future show, hit Brian or me up. Brian, what do you guys got coming up this week at United We Fan?
Still TBD. At this point, we did just do Crown the Best Year of Cinema between 2000 and 2009. We have it already done and ready, brackets made, the top 96 television theme songs of all time. We're going to pick our favorite one. That's going to be a multiple part episode, but still TBD on what's coming this Saturday.
Show me that smile again. Show me that smile.
That is the eighth seed. Or no, that is the fourth seed in the 1980s.
Minute on your crying. That's good. Perfect Strangers is good. Oh my God. Can I please vote in that tournament? I need to be a part of that tournament. Yeah, and you can check out United We Fan here on the Chip and Company Podcast Network. Brian and Mark are holding it down every single Saturday, doing a great job talking movies, pop culture, Disney parks, you name it. They've got lists, rankings, and everything that you ever would need to nerd out and fan out over everything. So join them every single weekend. Dude, this is so much fun. Thanks for hanging out. This was fun. Let's go watch football.
Football.
We hope that you enjoyed the football games. We hope you enjoyed this episode. And as always, we hope the rest of the week is filled with faith, trust, and pixie dust. We'll see you guys real soon. Bye, Brian.
Thanks, Mark.
Diz Life Podcast is brought to you by the Happiness is Addictive Collection. Happiness is Addictive is passionate about spreading laughter and creating smiles worldwide. They love bringing their global community together through optimism, cheer, hopefulness, merriment, and celebrating life's magical moments. They know how important it is to celebrate life's adventures, and their apparel will give you everlasting, one-of-a-kind memories through pixie-dusted family photos, compliments from park guests, and magical moments with cast members. They pride themselves on high-quality, custom-made apparel at competitive prices with world-class service. Let them help you create a lifetime of memories, whether you're Disney bounding, kicking it poolside, participating in Run Disney marathons, having costumed adventures, or just living your best Disney life. You can find their Happiness is Addictive shop on Etsy. You can also find them on Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, Twitter, and Pinterest. They are proud to be featured in Indy Central Florida, the Thoughtful Gift Club, and now here on Diz Life Podcast. Their collection was founded by a 15-year former cast member who knows how to enhance your magical moments for a lifetime of memories with your family. Don't forget to use promo code DizLife15 to take an extra 15% off. What are you waiting for? Head over to Etsy and start getting happy today. Follow the link in our show notes and you'll find out for yourself that happiness is addictive.